name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates. It's a periodic podcast journal of my creative life. I am an author and a podcaster and a musician and a creator, and I've been such for pretty much more than a quarter century. And for almost as long, I've been helping other people bring their own creative endeavors to fruition, to market, and to an audience. You can find out more about me at mattselznick.com. This is episode 9 of Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates. It's been just under a month since I recorded one of these back in November. Today is December 9th, 2025. Coming to you from the lush and lavish studios of MWS Media in Southern California. I have some different lighting going on. We'll see how that works. I've got a covered, ring light up there in the corner to my left behind the camera. I've got another shaded light to the right over in the other corner behind the camera. And I've got an overhead light, which you're not supposed to do, but there it is. And I'm using all these lights because normally I tend to do these during the day. But it is what it is. I've got the house to myself at the moment. It's, what time is it? It's about 6:30. And I thought it might be time that I caught up with all y'all. Today is what would have been the 90th birthday of my mother, Priscilla Suzanne Breek. And, of course, she's on my mind. She is often on my mind. She's been gone for a little over 6 years. And I've written, I wrote sort of a requiem or an elegy for her shortly after her death. And I will link to that in the description, in the show notes, whether you view this on YouTube or you're listening as an audio podcast, you can find the show notes for this episode, episode 9, over at mattselznick.com. So I wrote everything that you might possibly know, or want to know, I should say, about who my mother was, especially when it comes to my creative life. So I'm not going to go too much into that, but I am feeling gratitude for her influence and her support in the 83 years that she was on the planet and the, 52 years that that I got to be with her on this planet. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm giving the identity thieves so much information. I'm feeling some gratitude because, you know, it's her birthday, right? And why wouldn't I? And I'm also feeling, and maybe it's because her birthday is coming up. Maybe it's just because I spend so much time helping others with their works, and I'm getting older, that I've been thinking more urgently about my own creative endeavors and just how slowly and how I tend to put my own creative endeavors last, and how, you know, there's time is running out. In a previous episode, the last episode, in fact, I talked to you about the What Matters app that counts down the days, in my case, the days that I have left that I'm predicted to live. And as of today, tomorrow, I should say, on the 10th, based on the actuary data that I use to calculate the statistically predicted date of my demise, tomorrow there will be 13,000 days left. That's a nice round number. It's a literal round number. Something about seeing all those single and double digits at the end of that big number, like today it's at 13,001, right? Seeing them fade away day after day until tomorrow we have 13,000. Day after that, it's going to be 12,999. Let me just say that the app is doing what it's supposed to do. It is reminding me to stay on target, to do what matters. So, the memory of my mother on what would have been her 90th birthday, the digital counter counting down, the sort of digital hourglass dripping substantively and notably. the fact that I just recently finished a client project, getting their first novel out into the world. Seeing, oh, there's a little gnat or something in the office, seeing other people producing their works. Long-time listeners know that this is the sort of thing that periodically raises its ugly head for me. This odd combination of urgency and guilt that I haven't done more. I think that, well, number one, I know if I, you know, think about it objectively that I've got darn good reasons for not spending more time on my own creative works. We have recently had that was my phone dying. I better plug that in case anyone calls me or needs me, because, as I was about to say, we have had some, let's call it neighborhood drama, that has been very distracting and has taken a lot of my time and has been a drain on my, in every sense, a drain on my energy, mentally, emotionally, physically. And contrary to the myth of the suffering or starving artist, stress is terrible for creativity. And it's been stressful. It's been especially stressful in the last month or so. It's been generally stressful for years. And so on the one hand, I cut myself some slack. And if you are experiencing some chronic stress that is more or less out of your control, but you cannot deny the impact of, hopefully this has some value for you. I understand that the stress is there and that there are valid reasons for me to not have the energy to dedicate, for me to have to deprioritize the many, many things on my list. I made a joke to my partner this morning. I've been so caught up in other things that certain things have fallen through the cracks for me creatively, professionally. I feel like I've only had the energy to sort of fill the cracks. There's a metaphor coming here. I've had the energy to fill the cracks with dirt But the anytime that basically dirt turns to mud and roll, you know, it flows away, right? It was better when I said it this morning. I've been playing catch up, and it's not good enough, and it's not enough, and I need like a good 3 hours. This is it. This is the end of the metaphor. I need like an afternoon or a day to even find where the cracks in the wall are, you know, or the floor, the things that that have fallen through those cracks. I need to find the cracks. I need to be reminded of what it is that I won't say shirking, but what it is that's fallen behind, you know? I went on my website today and I clicked one of the menu items. I'm not going to tell you which one, and realized, oh shit, I never updated this particular page after I made this particular change. How much money have I lost because of that? Granted, probably not much, but percentage wise, maybe enough to be kicking myself about it. And yet, there are good reasons to not kick myself. These are valid things that have been taking my time away. There will always be valid things that will take your time away from doing the things that feed your soul. However, the other thing I have been reminded of, and that I'll tell you in case it means something to you as well, is the longer you put off or you demote the things that bring you joy, the things that feed your soul, the more anorexic and withered and weak your soul will become. And you know, just like a person who's been fasting can't eat a bunch right away. They have to allow their stomach and their digestive system to bounce back and to literally stretch when they begin eating again. I can't just drop everything and solely work on creativity or creative things. The muscle is atrophied. It's caused me to think about many things that long-term listeners to this show have heard me or seen me discuss thinking about in the past. Apparently, and I don't know if this is the way this is for you, but for me, I need to be confronted with and to learn lessons multiple times before it sticks. And the thing that I'm thinking about right now is just giving a little bit of time every day and not being scared that something else will collapse or fall apart because I've taken that little bit of time. I used to have a sort of a guiding principle, and that was to pay myself first. This is a common phrase you might hear if you are a freelancer or if you know, you're self-employed or have your own business, whatever. I just said the same thing three different ways. You pay yourself first. You make sure that you can be sustained. and then whatever other debts and obligations. And I'm not just talking monetarily, but you know, in terms of available energy, available time, whatever commodity you have is in limited supply. I'm talking about. You pay yourself first. Seth Godin has a little quote that I just heard someone else, can't remember who, but someone else repeated it, that is related. And that is, and Seth, if I'm misquoting you, I apologize, but I'll try to find it. And again, I'll put it in the show notes, in the script, the description of the video, if you're watching on YouTube, or in the show notes for episode 9 over at mattselznick.com. The quote is, profit is permission to do the thing again tomorrow. And if you feed yourself first, if you put feeding your soul, doing the creative thing, chipping away at one of the probably many things that you want to do that aren't your job or family obligations or health or whatever, health is important, of course, but if you just spend a little time every day to pay yourself first, to do something so that you can say, I made something today that was for me, then it's kind of like getting your reps in, right? It's kind of like at least getting on the treadmill or walking around the block for 15 minutes or whatever, doing a little bit of a thing so that your creative muscles don't forget how doing the thing feels, that, well, I mean, there's a rush, right? There's a mood boost that comes with actual physical exercise. What I'm calling your soul, not in a religious sense, but the kind of the core of your being, your soul is energized when you do the things that make you feel most like yourself. For me, that's making stuff. Specifically, that's making stuff with an end toward sharing that thing with the world. Longtime listeners, viewers will know that one of my own little catchphrases, personal phrases, is creativity isn't art until it's experienced by someone other than the person who created it. I believe that. So when I think about creativity, I'm thinking about the end result, having it out there in the world. The act of making the thing absolutely fuels me. And I haven't been, I'm on fumes, right? To keep with the fuel metaphor, analogy, what have you. I'm a writer. I can never remember which is which. So that's been on my mind. Something else about my mom. When she passed, let's just say I'm the only person who was available to take care of everything. And that included, of course, cleaning out her apartment and her storage unit, and finding things that she had created. Paintings, poetry, stories, fiction, mostly vignettes, a gigantic piece of shared world fiction that she built up in pieces with her friends on an old Prodigy bulletin board. Look it up, kids. Prodigy was sort of around the time of AOL and CompuServe, before sort of the generalized internet. Anyway, hundreds and hundreds of pages. And I think she was so supportive. I mean, most parents are supportive of their kids' creative aspirations, but I think she was so particularly supportive of mine, fiercely supportive of mine, as you'll see if you read the blog post I will have linked in the description. She was so supportive because, like so many parents, I'm sure I am not a parent, but like so many parents, I think she, I don't want to say was living vicariously through my creativity, but if I was going to be creative, if I was going to bring creative works into the world, those were her grandchildren, in a way. And from an evolutionary standpoint, right, sort of the goal of living creatures is to live long enough to make sure that your children have children. So she, for various reasons, didn't really get to pursue the sort of, for her creative act, her primary creative act was her children. And so she didn't really get to dedicate much time to these other things, her painting, her poetry, her fiction, and little ditties, and the other writing that she did. But she could make sure that I was encouraged and supported to make my songs and stories. And so, I honor her by creating. I ensure her legacy by bringing creative works into the world and releasing them after creating them, putting them in the world. And I'm 58 years old, and there's only so much time to be alive. 13,000 and less than one day. Let's rephrase that. Less than 13,000 and one days as I talk to you right now. There's only so much time to be alive. And there's a lot I want to do. And I haven't been taking steps to do those things because of all the bullshit that's flying around me in my life these days. And it's not to say that I feel like I'm dishonoring her by not releasing creative works into the world, by allowing my creativity to play second or third fiddle to the other ever-present and persistent stuff in life. No. But I am her legacy, and I'll have kids. My legacy will be the works I bring into the world. And I'd better get on it, right? So that's been on my mind. Not the entire month since the last time I spoke to you, but especially lately. And I think it's why I turned on the camera tonight and the microphone, because I needed to, as I so often do, I needed to think out loud. So what steps are taken? What am I doing about it? Right. Well, I'm going to have the house to myself. Probably the last week and a half, maybe 2 weeks of the year. So I'm going to have fewer distractions, fewer obligations, in a sense. And I'm going to make a concerted effort. You know, that sounds like that phrase, I need you to make a concerted effort. No, let's not say I'm going to make an effort. I am going to, period. I'm going to get back to my long-suffering, long-delayed next novel, Shadow of the Outsider. I'm going to stop fretting so much about how I tell the story and just tell the story. And I'm not going to allow myself to be distracted by the frictions that are writing adjacent, building systems, and tinkering with software and whatnot that that ostensibly are to aid in the process of writing the fiction. No, as much as possible, I am going to simply type. But also dig back up the stuff I've already written on this project. And yeah, I'm going to need to put it into some sort of consistent form, and so that it's there for me, so that my ingredients aren't scattered all over the kitchen in a way, right? But rather they are in front of me, in reach. But I'm not going to build a better kitchen. Know what I mean? And I even told someone that recently that, you know, it's my nature to make sure other people are taken care of. Might not always seem that way to everybody, but I do tend to put myself last. And it's not any kind of new wisdom that's a bad idea. So part of what's going to happen the next couple of weeks is as much as possible in my rather chaotic environment, build or establish. Habit is too strong a word. Build a practice. Now, oftentimes, and you know, it's we're coming up on New Year's Day, right? So everybody thinks about resolutions and goals they're going to have for the coming year, and I'm not talking about that because goals and resolutions are. They're potentially internally self-shaming, or they open one up to the potential of self-shaming or disappointing oneself if the goal is not reached. However, a practice is simply something that you do. It's practice. A practice is something that we do in order to get better. It's not the thing itself, right? It's not, I have written a book. No, it's, I am writing. I am practicing my craft. I am practicing the act of writing. I am practicing the act of painting. I am practicing the act of whatever, right? Whatever your thing is. You know, I'm mostly a writer, so that's, most of you probably are as well. So that's what I'm talking about. So establishing a practice, you know, you don't prevent your teeth from getting cavities. You practice the act of brushing them. And the result is that hopefully you have good oral health. The goal is to not have any cavities, but you might fail. But you will have brushed your teeth twice a day or three times a day, whatever it is. You know, I do it twice, floss in between sometimes. So I might die long before the 13,000 days have ticked off. But if I can say that I practiced my craft all of or most of those days in one form or another for me, not counting the things I do for clients, the creativity that I put into helping my clients bring their own works into the world, if I can say at the end of the day, the end of days, my days, that I practiced my craft. Well, number one, there will be results. Inevitably, things will get finished and shipped. But number two, that will have been a success. Because it's my nature, well, I won't say it's my nature, because it's how I have become through upbringing and circumstance and just life. It's part of my personality that I, as I said, put others first, put myself second. Your personality, I believe, isn't your nature. You can change your views and you can change how you react to things and you can change, you know, all of those things. I tend to feel bad if I feel like I'm letting someone else down. Which is, you know, yes, I've had the therapy. I'm very aware of these things. And it's a form of self-denial. It's shifting the sense of one's worth from oneself to being dependent on others to define that worth. Does that make sense? Let me see if I can put it a different way. I'll be more direct. I feel as if in order to show love and to be loved, I have to do for others. And that usually means I'm suppressing what I need to do for myself. I'm not investing in my own self-worth through my own actions for me. My self-worth is dependent on, in part, not entirely, I'm not a complete disaster, but especially times of crisis or when there's a lot of chaos around, it becomes an even more stronger tendency to define my self-worth on what I'm doing for others, how I'm helping others, the fact that I'm even trying to help others. A little bit of a martyr complex going on there. So by practicing my craft, writing and creating and making every day a little bit, just dedicating something to that every day, I will be shifting that tendency to pin my self-worth on what I do for others. And I could even be especially emotionally, engage in some emotional judo, some intellectual judo, and say that by writing, by shipping things I create, I am putting them into the world for others to experience. So I am giving other people an opportunity to enrich themselves, to be entertained, to be moved, to have an emotional response. By putting those things into the world that I have made, I am doing for others. Listen, this is all about, you know, I've been talking about me, but this is stuff that you can take home with you, right? And I do believe this, and I've said it before. I'm going to say it again because it all fits together. Do you see how this all kind of meshes together? Us people who create, we who create, no one else in the world, past, present, or future, from the Big Bang to the heat death of the universe, no one else can make the things that you can make or that I can make. No one else. Not exactly. Maybe similar, sure, but not from your unique perspective, not from my unique perspective. So if we don't make things, we are denying that perspective. And I know that sounds grandiose and egotistical, but and the reason I believe we each have an obligation to not just make our art, but put our art into the world is because it is service. We don't have any idea how what we make, what kind of impact that's going to have on the people who experience the thing we make. So I'm not going to say you need to make your art because you're going to change lives with it or change the world with it. I'm going to say you need to make your art and put it out into the world for others to experience because you just might change the world or change somebody's life or just give them something to smile about or think about or laugh about or cry about at that moment that they experience your thing. That's what we do. And that's our responsibility because we're driven to create. And I don't know about you, but when I'm not doing it, I feel less than. I feel less than myself. I feel dishonest with myself. I feel diminished. And I've been feeling that for a long time. And I don't want to die feeling that. So, that's what I've been thinking about. Next time we talk, I'm going to have more to tell you about how that goes on, how that's been going, right? In the meantime, I want to hear from you. Have you been feeling stymied, stifled, silenced, shackled, held back, whether by a person or by circumstance or by opportunity or by whatever? Have you felt constrained and blocked in a way from your need to create? And I'd like you to, if you have, I'd like you to get in touch with me, and I'll tell you how in just a second. If you have, I'd also like you to tell me, what's the one thing you can do every day to chip away at that wall, to loosen those constraints, to crack a window and let some of that creativity flow? Let me know. If you don't mind being open and transparent and public about it, of course, you can leave a comment in the show notes for this episode of Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates over there at mattselznick.com. Just go to the podcast menu item at the top, and you'll see Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates, and you'll see several recent episodes, but this will be the one that comes first, at least until the next one. But it's episode 9, okay? You can leave a comment there. You can, of course, if you are watching this on YouTube, you can leave a comment right there. Right there. Or you can email me at matt@mattselznick.com. And Matt Selznick is mattselznick.com. Email me at matt@mattselznick.com. Leave a comment right here in YouTube. Or if you are listening to the audio version of this show, you can open up your web browser and go to mattselznick.com. Click on podcasts, and you will find Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates and this episode, episode 9. And you can leave a comment there. What's been holding you back lately, and what can you do? What little thing or big thing can you do and will you do to get back to making? If you'd like to take it a step further and have some help, well, I've mentioned several times that my day job is helping other people bring their creative works to fruition, to market, and to an audience. Wherever you are in that process, especially with your fiction, memoir, nonfiction, I can help. Just go to mattselznick.com/services, and you'll get some idea of how we can work together. And you can, at the moment, you can book a free sort of get to know each other call that we'll either do on video, probably through Zoom, or just as a phone call, whatever you'd like. And we'll find out how best I can help you, like I've helped so many others. mattselznick.com/services. And again, it's mattselznick.com. I miss my mom, and I miss making stuff. And I'm a little freaked out that I might not have enough time to make everything. And it is an actually, it's not an infinite list of things I want to make. There's time. So long as I don't let the world and the people in it keep me from it too much. All right. If this has hit you in any way and you want to hear more from me, by all means, subscribe to Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates anywhere you get your podcasts. And that includes, of course, on YouTube. Just subscribe to the channel on YouTube or subscribe to Matthew Wayne Selznick Creates wherever it is you get your podcasts. So that covers the video and the audio versions of this show. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.